Welcome again, friends. I'm Richard from Lone Starts Radio. We're here with Dr. Gabriel Cousins, who wants to talk to us today about some interesting prophecies that are coming into bear in this time period when things are so tumultuous in the world and people are wondering how things are going to turn positive or negative. And he wants to bring in the perspective of the prophecies that come from thousands of years ago. So it should be interesting. We have a short time and let's go right to Dr. Cousins and see what he wants to reveal. Welcome, Doctor.
Thank you, Richard. I
Thanks for being
welcome you all with love, the little blessing about merging the heavens and the earth and the heart and mind. Shemikud Kudashabrihu Ushinate Bilu Urimu Urimu Uliu Biakta Beshem Biyuke Bavke Biudem Shem Ko Israel. Amen. Now, 2,000 years ago, the ancient Essenes predicted yesterday, that's right, yesterday, the first day of Pesach, would be the beginning of a transition, a 50-year transition into the 1,000 years of peace, which sounds pretty good, right? It's given what's going on in the world. So 2,000 years ago, yesterday is the beginning of that prophecy of a 50-year transition into the 1,000 years of peace where people are living in a much higher consciousness. And I thought it'd be fun today to talk about what that may look like. So that's what we're going to do. But first, we're going to do what the Essenes did, what many people do, is we're going to dance to get the spiritual energies elevated. So we're going to dance for about 3 minutes, then we'll meditate for a minute or two, and then go into the talk. Okay. Thank you. Then we're going to meditate for a few minutes. I'm going to give you a mantra that the Essenes used, and also Jesus when he went up the mountain. And this is what he gave to his disciples. Yoda and the in-breath, hey, and the out-breath. Wah and the in-breath, hey, and the out-breath. Yoda from the base up to the heart, hey, out through the heart. Wah from the base to the third eye. And then again, hey, out to the heart. And that's what he gave to his disciples when he went up the mountain to fight the dark forces. So we're going to just repeat that until we go in the till our mind's quiet, just for a minute or two. And so focus on my eyes for a second. Let that energy come through. And here we go. Yo. And now into meditation for a short time. Yo. Okay, coming out of meditation, and let's think about and talk a little bit. 1,000 years of peace. That actually sounds pretty good. But our first step is the transition to that. And there are a few things that are participate, because to enter that time, humanity has to upgrade its consciousness. That may seem obvious, but that's what has, and it is to a certain extent. There needs to be an upgrade in our peace awareness, our inner peace. We call it the sevenfold peace. Now, these scenes lived in ancient times, and they came into formal being about 186 BC. And they were the mystics of time. And they had a place in Qumran. They had, in every village and city, they had a house. They went as far as Damascus, Lake Mareotis in Egypt, all of which I've been to every one of these places. And they were the mystics, and they had to leave Jerusalem because they were so deep in their spiritual understanding. It was more than people could handle. But 2,000 years ago, they made the prophecy that in the first day of Pesach, which was yesterday, starting Saturday night, so Sunday night, tonight is Monday night, that we would enter the cycle of the 2,000 years of peace, of everyone being in a much higher elevation, and the forces of darkness would be compressed under the earth, and we would be free from them. Now, there's a little catch to that, that they weren't gone, that they were be, in a sense, banished from the surface of the earth. So our job, according to the Essene teaching, which, again, is relevant because it was for yesterday, is that we have to prepare ourselves for that. That's mentally, physically, and spiritually. That's the key. So one of the key teachings of the piece, of the scenes, and I wrote a book called The Sevenfold Peace, is they looked at peace on every level of our beingness, okay? Peace with the body, peace with the mind, that's like with the meditation, peace with the family. We can see how important that is, how relationships are so important, and how so much of that is broken down. Peace with the community, and peace with in all cultures, and that's the living earth culture, the plant people, the flying ones, and the swimming ones, the four-legged ones, and the humans, and all the human cultures throughout the world. And then peace with the spiritual ecology. So that's a spiritual relationship with the ecology. And finally, peace with God. And so, as of the prophecy of yesterday, and this is kind of exciting, yesterday, it's our great spiritual opportunity to elevate the consciousness to prepare for that. Now, we have meditation we just did. I'm going to mention something is that it's, again, prophesized that during this thousand, before we hit the 1,000 years of peace, people need to go towards a more vegan way of life. Why vegan? Well, there's no death with vegan. No animals are killed. We have ahimsa. Practicing peace, okay? When you eat beef, fish, chicken, and dairy, particularly these days, that the animals are killed, they're in fear, they're in pain, and we take that fear and pain into ourselves. Okay, and it affects our consciousness. So if we're going to go towards a peaceful consciousness, we have to be shifting our dietary approaches to something that's more peace. And the vegan way is involved with the most peace. Now, you can't eat with God, okay? But I'm saying for the general population in a very big way, it's important. That's what also, you know, the ancient masters in many traditions tended to follow. Now, we're also talking about peace among each other, peace in relationships. We can clearly see that's kind of an issue in the world today. Okay? And so all these pieces, so to speak, require us more actively participating in aligning with this prophecy. That's a really important thing wanting to hear, is it's our opportunity to align with the prophecy, to bring it into fruition. That's very exciting, very positive, very optimistic. And, you know, 50 years from now, we can say, well, was it really true? But our job, and it's a win-win, is to elevate consciousness on all these levels so that we're moving in that direction. That's the important thing. I'm going to turn this over to Richard if he wants to add to that.
I appreciate having some positive prophecy to look at, Gabriel. It's very interesting stuff. And so much that you brought up could lead to long discussions. One, you know, you mentioned the 1,000 years of peace. And I think that 1,000 years of peace is a lot better than 1,000 years of what we've got going on now.
Yes.
But I'm one of those dissenters who is not a fan of the karmic system at all. And I would like to have permanent peace, not 1,000 years, but I'm looking at, you know, where our minds are programmed to think that 1,000 years is such a long time. And I don't see it that way. I see it as a flash. And what I want is a total transformation.
So let me interrupt for a second. I was saying that 1,000 years of peace will strengthen people so that then the darkness is released again. They'll be able to fully defeat it. Then we're talking about endless peace.
Right, and I'm saying I'm against the darkness being released at all.
Well, not releasing it. It's part of the plan, the wake-up plan.
Right, and I think this is really interesting where the nasty part of the karmic plan came from, because I'm seeing that we are now, and, you know, this is just my limited point of view, and I'm totally subject to error, and I realize that. But I think where we came from was this infinite unconditional love that is the nature of God. And beings that are infinite love don't have a need to go through tribulations. So where that came from, I think, is an interesting question that could be investigated quite a bit. We're in the process of that. The other thing that you mentioned that's interesting is the whole vegan lifestyle. And I think ideally, you know, I was looking at the same thing. Ahimsa is very critical, not because of being afraid for being punished if you don't follow it or any of that kind of junk, because you don't want to hurt anybody else, because you realize that we're all networked. We're all part of the same being. And so causing pain and death and destruction to other beings doesn't feel good. So you don't do it. And ideally, you want a system of living and eating that doesn't harm other beings. And the trees, you know, vegan is less pain-producing than eating animals. But you're still killing plants. And if you're taking things from the trees, they give you the fruit and the nuts freely, and there's no harm at all. And so I was thinking, you know, I tried for a long time to be a fruitarian for that reason. I wanted the simplest, totally non-harmful lifestyle. And, you know, you can't avoid causing some kind of destruction in your, if you're in a physical body. You take a breath in and you're killing microbes, and step on the ground and you're killing insects. But it seemed the closest to that as possible. But I wasn't able to sustain it. I've noticed that most of the people who are following fruitarian lifestyles have a problem eventually. Definitely have a problem with putting on muscle mass, stability, mental stability. And most of the raw vegan people have the same problem, and not with the stability so much, but with the protein. And they need to live on with heavy supplementation. And there are things happening right now that are programmed, that are deep, based on deep beliefs that are subconscious. And if those are cleared out, who knows what we could do? You know, in my own case, I wasn't able to sustain muscle mass on a vegan program. And I was very clear that cooking food was detrimental. And that was my experience. It wasn't because I read about it. And I noticed a correlation between cooking and aging, so-called aging. And the whole aging thing is highly subject to question, because if the body is renewing itself, it shouldn't age. And the only reason that takes place that I've noticed is a corruption of the signaling. Neurotransmitters and the hormones are being told by the brain what the correct balances are. And over time, the brain starts sending out the messages to build back slower than the breakdown. And that's called normal aging, but I see it as completely abnormal. And it's coming from deep programming that tells the brain what to do. So we have work to do on the internal. Since that has an effect on everything around us, the work, the main work that we have to do is all inside. If we want to help the world or other people, we have to transform our own consciousness. And as far as the diet goes, I'm at the point now where I didn't want to eat animals or do anything that was harmful. And in the Essene Gospel, it talks about the use of raw milk. And I found that, as you say, the way that dairy is done nowadays, they kill all the animals. But it's not necessary. So it was kind of a compromise. Better than eating meat. There's a lot to talk about there, and we've got only a few minutes left. Wherever you want to go with it.
Well, I just want to add that many people on a vegan diet, you can lose strength. Well, my chronological age is 82. And this morning I did my usual 1,600 push-ups, which most people aren't doing, no matter what your age is, okay? I've only been a vegan for 50 years.
So you're just getting started.
I'm just getting started. The point is, if we're going to 1,000 years apiece, yeah. So what's my point? My point is, you do really need to work harder to, you know, as a vegan, to build muscle mass. But certainly, there aren't that many people who do 1,600 push-ups every other day, and besides being vegan or not. Okay, so that's a really important point. You can get stronger, but you got to put a certain amount of effort into it. So I'm just making that point. Now, some people have to individualize, everybody has to individualize their diet. 70% of the population needs a higher protein, and 30% needs, you know, not as high protein. It's a variance of 35 grams to 70 grams a day. Now, that's about half of what they recommend. But again, concentrated protein. Now, you can get good vegan protein. Spirulina, chlorella, blue green algae or E3 live, they're about 60 to 70% protein and up to 95% assimilated. That's intense.
So why
and
would
it work?
Why
so
would you
the problem?
Why would you have to do it as a supplement if the diet is ideal?
If the what is ideal?
If the diet is ideal.
Well, I didn't say it was ideal. I'm not interested in ideal. I'm interested in what works. And what I find as a holistic physician is people have different needs. And as it is today, our diet is, in general, what's available, the crops, the soils are depleted. You can't get it all. You just can't get it all from what's available. But the blue-green algae is part of the diet. And so is chlorella and spirulina. It's natural, and it's part of the diet. So it's not really a deviation. It's not like a supplement like people take. So you have that availability where you can indeed build muscle mass and you can get your protein needs met. Now, the other thing is the vegan diet is lower on the food chain, as you kind of hinted.
Right.
You know, we have a hint so we're not having suffering and misery and so forth. In addition, meat, fish, chicken, and also dairy, being higher in the food chain, have up to about 95 to 96% of the pesticides and herbicides.
Now, I have a question about that, Gabriel.
Yeah, go ahead.
If dairy is higher on the food chain, if you really look at it, if you found a cow or a goat that's raised in a normal way, they're raw vegans, and all they do is eat grass. So how are they higher on the food chain?
Well, I mean, grass is lower on the food chain, right? Plants and vegetables, fruits are lower on the food chain.
Okay, so it's one step up from that, I guess.
Yeah, and eating meat, fish, chicken, dairy is one step up. Now, it used to be that dairy was basically considered in the yogic system as okay, but the world is very polluted. So if you're just eating grass and you're a good-natured cow, right, it used to work. But now what's happening is all the pollution falls on the grass. And the cows eat it. And then they concentrate it because they're eating so much of the grass. They eat a whole lot more grass than, you know, I do with fruits and vegetables. So they're concentrating it, stays, it builds up in their tissues. So that's why you get 95% of the pesticides and herbicides, the glyphosates, all that, in the food. Now, better if it's organic, but really, you got all the chemtrails. You got all these different things coming in for different things. So it isn't perfect, but eating lower on the food chain would give you less density of the toxins. I think that's the way you have to look at it. It isn't perfect. The soils aren't really as nutritious as they used to be. So we're going for less pollution. If I can get 95% less pesticides and herbicides in my food, you know, going organic and so forth, that's a tremendous win.
Right. And there's a positive sign that the chemtrails, the geoengineering, was actually mentioned for the first time at a high-level government official speech by Robert Kennedy, saying that they were...
Yes.
He was saying that they were going to expose and stop the geoengineering.
That would be really, really good. Well, that's part of 1,000 years of peace, this whole thing. What he's doing, and he's exposing the vaccinations and the MMR and all the autism that's related to that. It used to be 1 in 10,000, now it's 1 in 30. That's what I heard today.
Right.
It's like, well, that's not so good, obviously. So if you can expose these things as causing a lot of neurological problems, that's a pretty important thing. So it's happening, you know. which is really what the good news is. And it's not perfect. One of the problems we have is that we want to move towards perfection, but we're pretty far away, to put it mildly, you know. So it's going to take us, if we keep in mind that we're going to a higher level of mental, emotional, and spiritual functioning, you know, 50 years is a really short time.
That's true.
And so the good news is that that's like, you know, we've reached some level of turning point. And, you know, we have to take advantage of it. That's the key for us. We have to take advantage. Yes. And that's the good news. That's the good news. Does that answer your question that you raised?
It depends on which question you're talking about.
Well, we're talking about, you know, toxicity. There's toxicity. The idea is to eat where there's less toxicity. And the cows are concentrating the toxicity. The fish really concentrate the toxicity.
Yeah, it would be interesting to know how much, you know.
A lot. I have some statistics, but think, you know, at least 50 times.
Are you talking about organic raw milk, not meat?
Well, I'm actually talking about meat. Organic raw milk would be less, but again, all the pollution is falling on the surface. So,
yeah,
is there really something organic raw milk? I don't know.
It's a similar problem with mothers breastfeeding their babies.
Yes, it is.
Because even if they're organic and they eat grass or vegan food, there's some concentration of toxins.
There's some, but there's less. And that's the way I'm talking about it. It ain't going to be perfect.
Right.
But less is, you know, significantly less, a good thing.
Stopping,
when you talk about autism, it used to be 1 in 10,000, now it's 1 in 30. Well, that's a pretty big difference here.
Right.
And that's what we're talking about.
Yeah. And, you know, there was a statement that people are upset about that Robert Kennedy made, that the best way to stop measles is the MMR vaccine, which is an insane thing to say. But
I'm not sure that he said that. It doesn't make any sense. It just doesn't make sense.
I think he did say it. And the explanation that's coming out is that he doesn't want him to be the source of, you know, saying the truth about the vaccines. He wants it to be an official study. And so he started an investigation being done by the so-called experts that he said by September will show what the autism epidemic really is. Yeah. And then it will be Kennedy, and he'll be able to say, oh, well, I guess we can't do the MMR shot then.
Right, and we can't focus on Kennedy as being a crackpot. Okay. Right. I get it. You know, the politics of that. That's fair enough.
It'll be harder to discredit.
Yes. So, I take a pretty optimistic view, you know, with this moving into the 1,000 years of peace. It won't be done, but it gives us a reprieve so that we get stronger and stronger with it. So we can hold the energy. And that's because the next round after that will be where it becomes more permanent. So I'm very optimistic.
Sounds good. Except so, I kept you over time today.
Well, I just want to bless everybody that you open up to the optimism and begin thinking in these next 50 years of really enhancing the movement of planetary consciousness into that 1,000 years of peace. Peace be with you. Shalom, shalom, om shanti, 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 om vitakyo asana. And thank you. Thank you. Richard, and thank you for behind the scenes.
Wishing everybody a wonderful week. We've been talking about issues in Planetary Healing Club this week too. And behind all of it is programming that doesn't have to stay there. You know, and if we want to change over to our normal state, which has been forgotten for more than thousands of years, it's a matter of working inside to get rid of the programming and get back in touch with who we are. It's really the issue. All the others follow, including karma and the things that seem irrevocable and unchangeable. They're all based on internal programming that doesn't have to stay there. So do your internal work, use your time well, realize your importance for the rest of the world, and the more focused and the more intent you put on it, your influence on the world becomes much more than one single person ordinarily would be. So take care. Have a great week. We'll look forward to seeing you next time.
Thank you for attending.
Nice to see you again. We'll see you soon.